Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is Srila Prabhupada's favorite verse from the prayers of Lord Brahma, and also it is one of the more often quoted verses, either partly or fully, in Srila Prabhupada's lectures and in other purports in his books. There's some feedback echo from the sound.
If you bring it closer to your mouth, you'll turn it down.
You mean? He's turning it down with his phone?
Yeah, right from his phone he adjusted.
Wow.
Modern technology.
I get bewildered by that.
He does too. He gets bewildered by that too.
I don't know how to do it, that's why I'm bewildered. Tatenukampam. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, entitled Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, Text Number 8. Tatenukampam susamekshamanu. Bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Ridvak vapurbir vidada namaste. Jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhag.
Ahem.
find the word for word. Tat, therefore, te, yo, anukampam, compassion, su, samikshama, na su samikshama. Su samikshamanah. Earnestly hoping for. Bunjana. Enduring. Eva. Certainly. Atmakritam. Done by himself. Vipakam, the fruit of results, writ with his heart, vak, words, vapurbi, and body, vidadan, offering, namaha, obeisances te unto you, jivita lives, ya anyone who mukti pade to the position of liberation, sa he dayabak. The rightful heir. And the translation, you can repeat, beautiful translation. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering. Nice, huh? I suffer patiently. Patiently suffering. The reactions of his past misdeeds. And offering you respectful obeisances. With his heart. Words. And body is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. And the purport by the followers and disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word su samikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words, and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words Dayabhag. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Pure, Lord Krishna, without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. Amajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk with several devotees, including Brahmananda Swami at the time, and Jagadish Prabhu and others. And while on the morning walk, a car just swished past, and Srila Prabhupada caught the name of the car, Thunderbird. Once you go there, you have a thunderbird. Once you go, they said, very nice car. Did you own one? You were thinking about it. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees, Thunderbird? Is there such a bird? You get such a bird? So the devotees were not sure, like that. Then Srila Prabhupada quoted from Srila Rupa Goswami. And he said, there is such a bird, Chataka. And this Chataka bird, Srila Prabhupada explains, that it will never take water from the ground. It will always hover just below a rain cloud. Shyama, rain cloud. We call it monsoon clouds. Just hover below that. Yeah. And the Chataka bird is like a painted picture. It stands, it's like sort of stands in mid-air with its beak open and looking up at this rain cloud, waiting patiently for some drops to come into its beak and gives it the nutrition it needs. That's its food. But there's oceans of water on the ground, there's beautiful lakes, there's beautiful flowing rivers, it will never take. And sometimes this monsoon cloud doesn't give drops. This monsoon cloud gives lightning. And it gives thunder. See? But the Chataka bird is patiently suffering the lightning and the thunder. But it will never give up. It will never give up. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada says, like the rain cloud, which resembles Krishna, and like the devotee, which resembles the Chataka bird, they will never take mercy from the ground, not from the material world. Even if Krishna does not give that mercy that you're looking for towards, you know, favorably, but Krishna gives some unfavorable, like lightning and thunder, the devotee never gives up, patiently suffering and waiting for Krishna's mercy. There was a nice, I mean, it's probably somewhere, this particular devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada named him Nirahari. Or sometimes they say Narahari, if they spell it. But N-R-H-A-R-I. You know him? Yep, yep. So he wrote to Srila Prabhupada, that he was having difficulties with his god brothers and god sisters. You know, he can't get along with them, and he's suffering like that. This is what Srila Prabhupada wrote back. Although there may be some difficulties within our society, now his letter was, I'm having many difficulties. But Prabhupada responds, although there may be some difficulties within our society, these things are not very important. What is important is that we should simply fix our mind on Krishna's lotus feet. This is his instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. So we associate with one another so that we can assist each other in hearing and chanting about Krishna. That is the purpose of our society. This you will not find in the materialistic society where all hearing and chanting is simply concerned with sense gratification. So our desire is Krishna, and we want to go back home, back to Godhead, where Krishna lives eternally. So you simply follow my instructions as I have given to you, and surely your life will be a success. In the Nectar of Devotion in chapter 10, which deals with Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Srila Prabhupada writes nicely there, and he paraphrases this verse, and he beautifully says, Tateyanu Kampam Sushamikshamanu. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. This is directly from Srila Prabhupada. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments, even from other devotees. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word used in this verse, Srila Prabhupada says, Dayabak. Dayabak refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of his father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. You know, sometimes could say in one sense a beginning devotee. And one can be a beginning devotee even for a few lifetimes, which is okay because you're still on the path. Sometimes a beginning devotee may feel, oh, you know, I have done so much for Krishna. I have done so much service, you know, for the devotee. Why is Krishna doing this to me? Or why is Krishna doing this through the devotees to me? So someone may kind of question like that, see? And Srila Prabhupada explains that that one should expect trials and tribulations in devotional service. One should expect that. See? And we are aware that the trials and tribulations that Srila Prabhupada went through is too numerous to mention, which begins on board the Jaladuta, which begins, you know, in Jhansi with his league of devotees, which begins with so many heart attacks. See? So he went through a lot of trials and tribulations, Srila Prabhupada himself. So we can take, you could say, solace, we can take guidance, and we can take inspirations from Srila Prabhupada's, you know, example himself, which is too numerous to mention. Too numerous to mention. So, I'm going to probably give one of my own examples, which helped me 15 years later, not at the time when it happened to me. Yeah. So I was responsible for quite a large region in a particular country, or maybe sometimes the whole country, service-wise. Yeah. You may call it, you know, regional secretary or zonal secretary, whatever you may call it. Some sort of upadhi was there, designation of service. So There was another devotee who was also inclined to get that position or post. And I've been getting challenges to actually do my service nicely because of the post. So I thought, you know, to hell with this post. Let me give it to him because that's his desire. And he did very well, but he got heavily purified in the process. And I thought, service is unlimited. Why should I just keep some service? It's unlimited. But for him, service is limited because I'm free to travel as a brahmachari, preach and so forth. But he cannot be free to travel, so rather he gets that service. But I did it like unwillingly. I did it begrudgingly. You know, I did it like, you know, let Krishna purify him. You know, but Krishna purified me in the process. And it was a wonderful thing. 15 years later, I won't get into the details. 15 years later. Then 3 years after that, 15 years later, I'm about like 38, 39 years in, you know, joined about almost 38, 39 years I joined. So 3 years after that, 15 years later, Krishna gave me that sort of service position again. And I couldn't say no because I was cornered from all sides. Like that. And when I did the service again, I did it like with a renewed consciousness of how to serve Vaishnavas. Like that. And it reminded me of what Srila Prabhupada told to His Holiness Giriraj Swami. Srila Prabhupada said, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. Beautiful. Such a lengthy sutra, but perfect, you know. Who would like to repeat? Come on. Yes, Prabhu, loudly, give him the microphone. Come on. See, sometimes when they repeat, they may adjust it a little bit. So be careful when you repeat. Who would like to repeat? Can you bring the microphone? He put his hand up first because it's in the front.
Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment.
Great. Now when you apply that, you mustn't apply it to somebody else's bad judgment on you. You understand? You should apply it on your own bad judgment, which gives you a realization to make a good judgment. Beautiful. Prabhupada is, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. Amazing. It refers to this particular verse also. Now when Krishna bestows His mercy onto a sincere soul, irrespective whether you are Mahabhagavat or beginning devotee, it doesn't matter. When Krishna bestows His mercy, two nice examples are given in relation to this. One is that when a father gives you very delicious milk to drink, it may be like, has some cardamom, some nice nuts in it, you know. It's flavored and so forth. And you relish it. Okay? But the same father another time may give you neem juice to drink. But the neem juice that he gives you, which you're not looking forward to, but you know you have to drink it to relish the hot milk. Because you have to get better to get your appetite again to relish the hot milk. So Krishna sometimes gives the neem juice. And that is nothing got to do with the laws of action and reaction or karma of this material world. It's coming from an affectionate father. And that sort of neem juice may come through some affectionate devotee. based on faith and relationship. It may come from your Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru or well-wisher. It comes like that. So this is that particular verse. Now, who has an experience that you are judged guilty until proven innocent? I have many experiences within the society and community of devotees. Anybody has experience, you judge guilty until proved innocent? Who has experience? Give him the microphone. You have an experience, right? Now when you speak, we should honor persons in their absence. We should honor persons in their, even if they're right or wrong. This is got to do with the verse. How to practically apply it. From my own limitations and realizations in Krishna consciousness, for whatever it's worth. When you speak, do not quote somebody if it's unfavorable. Do not quote somebody if it's unfavorable. That person may be right or wrong, but do not quote somebody if it's unfavorable. But you can quote anybody if it's favorable. Right? So therefore, you can discuss with me the issue, but not the persons. Let's see what you do.
This is funny that I had a project to be done, and we purchased 50,000
rupees. Oh, no, hold on. Say, what if? Use the word, say, what if? Say?
What if?
What if I had a project? Say like that.
What if
I had? Yeah, speak in the future tense. Get it? Because Vaishnava Aparad is a very subtle, fine line which one has to overcome eventually from the deep recesses of the core of the heart. There may be gross offenses with mind, body and offenses, but deep in the heart there's a very fine, subtle line. Because the devotee never, ever becomes his enemy's enemy. This is in relation to the verse. See? So let's assume you're going to have a project in the future. Go ahead. You see how difficult it is? It is very, very difficult, because it is easy to quote people unfavorably, but very difficult to do otherwise. And that's part of sadhuninda, Vaishnava Aparad. It's very, very, very subtle. That scent of committing offenses has to be removed. Has to be removed. How many of you gave a gift to somebody you don't like? Raise your hand. Very rare. That is a Mahatma Sudulabha. Very rare, such a Mahatma. How many of you sacrificed your own prasad to give somebody else? And you think, oh, the prasad is going to go. Prasad. A very simple thing. And you went hungry for a few hours. See? So Krishna consciousness is a life of sacrifice, personally from your own side. Personally from your own side to please others. Whether it's devotee or non-devotee. It's a life of sacrifice. And me speaking like that, I'm reminding myself to become like that. Not I am like that. I'm still reminding myself that one day I should be like that fully. very, very important. Srila Prabhupada gives beautiful analogies in relation to this verse. I'm going to read it for you. Amazing. And this is his original analogy. You don't find it anywhere, but original. He said, in court, an important man is sometimes found to be a culprit. And the judge, this is from Teachings of Queen Kunti, chapter 8. In court, an important man is sometimes found to be a culprit. And the judge may be able to fine him $100,000 and know that the man can pay it. But the judge may tell the man, you just give 1 cent. That is also punishment, but it is greatly minimized. Similarly, the sufferings of those who engage in devotional service in Krishna consciousness are minimized. For example, one may have been destined to be killed, but instead of being killed with a knife, he may instead get some little cut on his finger. In this way, for those who engage in devotional service, the reactions of past activities are minimized. Yes. That's how Krishna takes personal interest in the life of a devotee, through the agency or consciousness of the spiritual master, through the agency of the Vaishnavas, and through the scripture itself. Or Hari Guru Vaishnavas, or Shastra Sadhu and Guru. Through those agencies, Krishna takes care. Yeah. Now, anyone sometimes keeps grudge? G-R-U-D-G-E, grudge. I used to. I don't know whether I'm still purified of that tendency, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Yeah. Did anyone keep grudge and you can't do anything about it, and then you grudge Krishna? Hey, Krishna. Anyone? So who's our transcendental victim? Come on. Give him the microphone. What's your good name? No, him, him.
Rasa Sindhu Gopal
Das. The one in the front. English, okay? Yeah. You had some grudge against Krishna? Yes or no? To have a grudge against Krishna is all right. Tell us about it in 2 sentences.
I grudge that my Krishna is making me suffer so much.
And what realization you got when you realize that Krishna is making you suffer? For what purpose Krishna is doing that? Okay, maybe I can help you along. Give me the example of the suffering in 1 sentence.
Financial suffering.
Financial suffering. Financial suffering. How is that? I mean, since I joined 38 years ago, I don't have a bank account. I don't have 1 paisa to my name. But it's going on. Sometimes some money comes this the right hand, it goes on the left hand, almost immediately. So I'm trying to understand this financial suffering. Okay, you are suffering. Are you welcoming the suffering or you don't want to suffer?
I was always welcoming, but it came to a point and I didn't listen.
Continue to welcome that suffering because Krishna will give you suffering that you always can handle. That you always can handle. And he'll give you the potencies and circumstances through the suffering of other devotees to make you suffer that which you can handle. This is in relation practically to the verse. What's your good name? It's okay. Pitambar Nimai. Thank you, Pitambar Nimai, for sharing your personal realization. Srila Prabhupada gives another example. How many of you were in a dangerous situation? Anyone? Mata, give her the microphone, pass it quickly, 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 quickly. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, we don't want a long purport. What is your good name?
Radhika?
Radhika Gopi Devi Dasi. It seems like normally when you speak it's different, but now you're quite humble when you say Radhika Gopi Dasi. I think I know you a little bit. You are a resident of Vrindavan, right? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Nice. Now, give me in one sentence describing the danger that you were in. I said one sentence, but that's like a few, right? Can you summarize it very quickly for us?
Because I was in the elevator.
But how are you here today as a resident of Vraj out of the elevator? What happened?
I didn't hear you, Maharaj.
Did you scream out to Krishna or depend on Krishna, or somehow Krishna made some arrangement? That's okay, but Krishna made the arrangement.
No, I was screaming out to Rishabh Dev for one.
That's fine, that's okay, that's an avyash of Krishna, that's fine.
And I was chanting the Navbhar mantra and crying out to Rishabh Dev for one, and somehow the elevator opened after, I don't know, a long time.
Wonderful.
And I came out and
see,
I painted on the screen.
This is the verse, the Tehanu Kampam
Shimachima.
Thank you very much, let's chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So why I gave the example of danger with Radhika Gopi nicely gave her own example. It's practical, it's living example. It's because when in danger you remember the Lord more. When in calamities come, you remember the Lord more. So what should we do is, we don't expect danger, but we must expect suffering to please Krishna. We must expect suffering to please Krishna. It's not just you just expect suffering. You have to complete it in your consciousness. You must expect suffering to please Krishna. But danger comes out of its own accord. But suffering is something we should look forward to please Krishna. And if that suffering you don't look forward to and it comes out of its own accord, then you're going to grudge Krishna. Then you're going to become angry with Krishna or with Krishna's devotees because Krishna works through them. And he said, no, Krishna didn't do that. You did it! But it's actually Krishna through the agency of the devotee. there is administered just a little token, just a little token. In that way. All right, I'll conclude after taking some comments or questions. I'm sure Preetu Prabhu can share some realization of this verse with us. Where's the microphone? Everyone pass the microphone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Preetu Prabhu, I prefer you to share your wisdom and realization, if you can, on this beautiful verse.
What is verse?
Yeah, your own realization in Krishna consciousness.
That we have to see what happens to us with the eyes of knowledge.
Wonderful.
And so, in one of the purposes of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, when a devotee is in distress, then he accepts this distress as another form of Krishna.
Wonderful.
And then he says, Prabhupada goes on, it is a way, Krishna's way to purify. It's a negative way, actually, it says in the Prabhupada. I was surprised. It's a negative way, way to purify a devotee from the reactions of his past deeds.
Yes.
The question arises, what is a positive way? That's how you have to learn your theorem, because if you absorb yourself in that,
yes.
The whole picture is different.
Yes.
There are two types of dealings with Krishna. When we actually turn to Krishna, through devotional service and through chanting his glories,
yes.
Makes a difference.
Yes.
A positive way.
Yes.
The negative, a suffering, positive.
Yeah.
It is, if you only hear, then you have to learn by experience.
Yes. It reminded me of something, actually. About 30 years ago, I was giving a class. I mean, 30 years ago, not 30 years later. You know, surely I may have been running naked then, but I'm not running naked now. You know, that type of Prabhupada used to say like that. So when I was giving class, and you know, my false ego was pretty great. Like, you know, I'm the greatest speaker, you know, like that. So that's 30 years ago. So one devotee, he asked a question, but he agitated me. You know, like, and I was about to get angry. And I thought, wait, I'm sitting on the Vyasasana. But, and the immediate thing I did, somehow, you know, Krishna is kind. Krishna controlled my, the immediate thing I did, I took my bead bag and I put my hands in my beads and I on the Vyasa, and I, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And everyone was like, what's going on? He's gone crazy. I was gone crazy, that's true. So then I took the beads and I just chanted like maybe 45 seconds or so, you know, or a minute, and I just put the bead back there like that. So then I told, my dear Prabhu, I didn't understand your question. What is your question again? You know, my anger, which he instigated, is my problem. Is my problem. Not that because he instigated my anger. But when he asked the question again, I was completely pacified, you know, like, and I answered. It was like a negative thing that's coming to me, but I took shelter, you know, of the holy name. It was a wonderful experience when I recall it so many times in my life. Amazing. Yes, Gopal, please.
Yes, I'd like to.
There's another wonderful senior disciple of Prabhupada, joined in 1968 in Seattle. And Prabhupada spelt his name when he gave the name. Your name is G-O-P-A-L. Wonderfully, he gave class the other day.
But,
please.
I'd like to speak. We're speaking about suffering. And suffering is determined in the eyes of the beholder.
Uh-huh.
And
nice.
There was an incident in Los Angeles where in the morning Srila Prabhupada was going on his morning walk, and they were in the car, and they were driving through Beverly Hills area in Los Angeles, which is a posh, very beautiful, rich, opulent area.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, Srila Prabhupada began to cry. And the devotees were bewildered, and they wondered, why are you crying, Srila Prabhupada? He says, why are you crying? Because for them, they're seeing these rich people with opulence and money and everything that a normal person might wish. And then Srila Prabhupada, still tears in his eyes, he just said, just see how they're suffering.
Huh.
So.
It's amazing. Gopal Prabhu hit on a point here. We see suffering due to something of a lack of material want. But they have it materially, and Prabhupada says that they are suffering. It's quite nice. Thank you. Yes, Panchakota Prabhu.
When Krishna was blamed by Satyajit for stealing the Shamatapa jewel, Krishna went out of his way to prove his innocence, so much so that, fighting with Richaraj. And also Prabhuji was saying about feeling suffering, about maybe financially being deprived. So should one make the endeavor that I'm being deprived, but maybe I should work harder, or maybe I should make some other intellectual arrangements to mitigate my suffering of not having my financial necessities met, or being blamed for something I didn't do? How much endeavor should we put into that?
Is it okay for me to ask you to answer your own question? Or maybe we should give it to him? Pitambar Prabhu, you can answer his question. Because, I worked for a few years, accumulated some money, but it didn't really happen to me, so. And I closed all my bank accounts, and I don't have it still, and gave all the money to ISKCON. So I can't answer that question from that perspective. If somebody has a realization that can answer the question, would be nice, because I don't have any experience.
Doesn't Prabhupada say we have a destiny of how much will come and how much will not come, so you should not over-endeavor in any capacity, right?
Perfect. He answered his own question. Thank you very much. There's a question at the back from Yamuna Priya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Don't worry, Yamuna Priya, I won't give you any suffering. Tell us your question or comment. Or realization.
Maharaj, this time I'm not chanting, I'm knitting, so it's okay for me to ask the question, I hope. Maharaj, this was such an amazing, loaded.
What do you say? My hearing. I'm getting old.
I was just saying, Maharaj, this class was so deep, intense, and very loaded. It was a beautiful class. And I love the way you made all of us interact. I have a couple of questions.
Now let's take one.
Yeah, I'll ask one.
Yes. Because, Mahaprasade, Govinde, Breakfast Prasade.
Sure. Okay, so...
Is it okay? Panchakura Prabhu?
Yeah,
tell us.
Okay, so Maharaj, maybe the one question I would ask is that you were making us paraphrase how we talk about this problem. For instance, when you were asking Prabhuji to speak about his problem, I forget what it was, then you made him paraphrase what he said. So my question is that one of the six loving exchanges is that you reveal your heart confidentially and you also listen. So I wanted to know that when we do that, should we do how you said, or we should actually say it as it is, as if it's happened, so we can get proper advice?
Well, it varies from person to person in terms of faith and relationship. Like, for example, if you want to reveal your, you know, Guya Maketi Prichati, when you want to reveal your heart, or maybe mind, in confidence with somebody else, but you may not have sufficient faith and relationship in that person. So you're taking a risk. You're taking a risk. Because confidentiality is like a spiritual opulence that is bestowed into your heart in relationship into another person's heart. Because confidentiality by its nature is not broken. Should I repeat that? Confidentiality by its nature is not broken. But if you reveal your heart to somebody in confidence and they break your confidence and it becomes a news for the weak in the community of devotees because somebody broke your confidence in them when you revealed your heart like that, that is Krishna's arrangement. Because good judgment comes from experience and experience comes from bad judgment. So you badly judged and you got an experience that you could, you know, keep confidential with this person. See? So eventually the confidentiality by its own nature will protect you by Krishna's arrangement in relationship to other devotees. And you'll be okay. Because it's one of the six deep loving exchanges amongst devotees. Practically, it's the main one. It's the main one. Because that revealing your mind in confidence is the depth of personalism in Krishna consciousness. And if you don't do that, you will suffer from a disease of mental illness called loneliness. And loneliness you can never recover from. And that is the height of your personal impersonalism and voidism. Loneliness. So therefore it is like a necessity. Just as we say, prema pumartha mahan. The ultimate necessity is love for Krishna. But to get to the ultimate necessity, the immediate necessity is to reveal your heart in confidence. And similarly, others can reveal their hearts in confidence to you. It's reciprocal. It must be. That removes this nirvisheshan sunyavad from our own hearts. I'm not taking your next question. Is that okay, Yamuna Priya? Because, you know, prasadam time. But I just want to conclude with something. And Srila Prabhupada, it's quite, Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, you can't fathom, it's hard, you know, but Prabhupada is so amazing. Yeah. So I'll read something that Prabhupada, in relation to this verse, and he relates it to Srimati Radharani. You can't go better than that. You can't go better than that. And Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Leela, chapter 4, in text 186 purport, Prabhupada says, in relation to this verse, an intense lover of Krishna, which is Srimati Radharani, does not care for any number of material discomforts, including finance, scarcity, impediments, or unhappiness. It is said that when one sees apparent unhappiness or distress in a perfect Vaishnava, it is not at all unhappiness for him or her, Radharani. Rather, it is transcendental bliss. And then Prabhupada quotes the apex verse in the Shishastakam 8. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also instructed, Aslasya va padaratam pinastumam adashanam mahatam karotuva yatatata vadidatulam patum mat prananatastusa evanapara. But Prabhupada only quotes Aslasya va padaratam pinastumam. He didn't say the whole verse. And then Prabhupada says, last line, sentence, the intense lover of Krishna is never deviated from his service despite all difficulties and impediments brought before him or before her in relationship to Srimati Radharani. Very beautifully, intense lover of Krishna. So in other words, when Krishna gives you suffering, your love becomes more intense for Radha Krishna in this case. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.